I mean, that's manifestly true. It hadn't gone. There wasn't even a, I mean, even if someone had gotten in a boat, but whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, did it go to the Native Americans? What it meant was, and that's the point, is that it was in, it became an open issue with all mankind. You say, well, didn't God care about man the rest of the nations before that? Well, in a certain sense, God cares about everything. He says, you know, what should I destroy? That, you know, when Jonah was angry with God because he hadn't destroyed Nineveh, he's like, hey, you know, there's all these people here, and they don't know their right hand from their left, and all these cattle. You want me to just destroy them? You know, though God does not choose everyone for eternal life, he does care about all his creation. On the other hand, he is willing to let things happen, evil things in creation, because it's part of his will that there be evil in the world. Absolutely, that's part of God's will. How do you, you know, people say, well, man brought in evil through sin. It's like, well, wait, who let that serpent into the garden? How'd the serpent get in there? If God didn't want it there, how could it have gotten? Did he sneak in? You mean, you know, maybe God was on the toilet, and the snake creeped in behind him while he wasn't looking. Is that what you think of God? A big doofus? Don't insult him. He had to know. So I look at that Genesis, I'm like, this story is, it's a big setup. Man was being set up by God to sin. I say that for another book, but still, it's part of predestination. It's like, and my point is that all nations weren't predestined. A lot of people just died. And you know what? God does not owe anyone a living. He doesn't. And I went into great detail about this in Romans 8 and 9. Just how that we're lucky to be alive. I would say I could have had twin brothers and stuff, and they're not alive. I mean, they're not even conceived. All the people that never been conceived. Don't they have some sort of right to live? To exist? No, they don't. So we who exist are already at an advantage. So I think it's great to take part in existence. I don't want to be, you know, trite about it, because my existence has been pretty nice. I'm in a very blessed country. Sometimes it almost makes me ashamed. It does make me ashamed. When I consider all the opportunities I've been given, all the cushiness that's involved my life, and the little pains that come along, and how many times in my life, you know, I've really failed to live up to my own, what would you call it, my own vision, sort of my own idealized vision of what virtue and manliness means. And I think about people who live in incredibly difficult circumstances and who suffer so many things in this world. And here's the thing. This is the grace of God. There are people who suffer and die, never hearing the gospel. And however God judges these things, it's up to him. But I'll tell you what, God's grace is on us who hear his word. Because it is through his word and through the preaching of God's word that that salvation comes and deliverance from sin. I mean, God will have his judgment day for everyone. And people can stand or fall. You know, people can tell stories about, oh, the wonderful person died and suffered and they didn't believe in Jesus. And it's like, you know what? I'm not here to judge people. The judgment of God already stands on all acts of sin and disobedience. He doesn't, and beyond that, even if you never sinned in your life, honestly, God still doesn't owe you anything. Like, well, I gotta let them live forever. Mankind comes in this world knowing very quickly realizing that death is certain. Eternal life, a gift of eternal life. If God gives it to some and not others, I always say if I was not found worthy of it in the end, if he had not made me worthy by his salvation, I'd have to say, you know, it's like, what am I going to do? Complain? Curse him? I can't curse him. But it says the wicked will curse him, even in that day. That's why I have faith, and I believe that I will not be among the wicked in that day. No. Not for a moment. His grace is towards me. You know why? Because I can hear the word of God. That's one thing, right? There's part of the grace of God. I can hear the word of God. Now, a lot of people think they hear it. And all people hear it in one way or the other. But I mean, to hear the true word of God, right? And they all think they hear the true word of God. I think I hear the true word of God. I might not hear the true word of God. But of course, most people don't believe that they're, you know, it's like, well, you either accept Jesus or you don't. You know, they don't understand that there's like a lot more to it than what they're being taught. In fact, what they're being taught is a major perversion of what the apostles taught. And the book is right here. But look at just living in a country where you could hear the gospel. All right, you already have an event. The grace of God shines on you. You could be in a country where it's illegal to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, God could do something about that. You believe it. And he hasn't for centuries. He hasn't shown them his favor. It's not because they're bad people. He just hasn't given them favor. So count your blessings. You know, that God's grace is not given to every single person. It's appeared to all kinds of humanity. And believe me, out of every nation under heaven, there are Christians. Every nation. Maybe some micro nation somewhere where it's like, oh, well, nobody's a Christian there. Whatever. But you know what? The grace of God still appears to them. And it teaches a certain thing. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Because as Paul said in the book of Romans, he talked about the grace should reign through righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness. I mean, when you have righteousness, that's when grace is really reigning. That's why it says, where he hath made us acceptable. Accepted in the beloved. See, he makes us accepted. I could never earn this on my own volition, you know, of my own self and from things within myself that God hadn't put there. Just welling up from within me, my own creation, from within me, I give forth love towards God out of my belly. God has not put it here, but I created it in me. A love towards God. A love towards Jesus. A love for my brethren. Faith. I generate faith from within myself. Me. I have faith. You know, and that's why there really is cause for boasting in these gospels. And you see, though, why is it that some people don't receive the gospel? Well, I guess they're not very smart.